Hey, this is Ray Higdon, and welcome to this exclusive audio, and it's going to be around my book, Faith Driven Wealth. Now, this is not the audiobook, all right? It's not the Audible. This is not me narrating the book. This is me going chapter by chapter, sharing with you some takeaways, some insights that aren't in the book, and some things that I think will really help you with the with the consumption of the book. And so first, I just want to start with, if there was one topic more controversial to those of faith, I don't know what it would be, okay? And that's money, wealth, abundance, prosperity. There is more energy, good and bad, mainly bad, around wealth, abundance, prosperity, and riches than any other thing, okay? I don't know another topic that creates this kind of thing, and it makes sense, you know. Anyway, let me continue. So I believe most Christians have been duped into believing that not only is there virtue in poverty, like that's something to be heralded and good for you, good and faithful servant. Although if you think about, you know, parable of the talents, parable of the minas, good and faithful servant was not used on the person who did little. Good and faithful servant was the one that multiplied their efforts. Isn't that interesting? And so not only do I think Christians have been duped in believing that there's virtue in poverty, but if they think someone is guilty of greed, or they think someone is only after the money, they believe that they have a green light to ignore every bit of scripture that talks about loving others. And so despite, you know, you look at a very clear example of Zacchaeus, right? So Jesus approaches Zacchaeus. He's up in the tree and he says, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to have dinner with you. And Zacchaeus was the town gangster. He had ripped people off. He was a tax collector. He had overcharged. And Jesus led with goodness, not condemnation. But look at the Christians that are so quick to bash mega pastors. Look at what outfit he wore, you know, those running mega churches and all this. It's like all of the rules of love go out the window if they think someone is after money. Dangerous, very dangerous. And so then you have the other extreme, right? Most people, especially entrepreneurs, they base their identity, safety, security, significance, and emotions around how much money they have stored up. They desire to get to a point where they don't have to trust in God because they can trust in their Bank of America, right? Or their retirement portfolio. You know, retirement isn't a concept in the Bible. It wasn't even a concept until like the 1800s. What does retirement mean? Retirement means I've helped and served enough people, so now I can just rely on the money that I've saved up. I don't think that's a biblical concept. I really don't. And so a lot of people, they desire, you know, how can I get to a point where I no longer have to be of value to others and serve others because I got enough money in the bank? That's a deep reliance on money, okay? So this book and this audio, I think, will help you distinguish what the biblical answer to wealth is, how to think about it, how to multiply and increase it while putting God and His kingdom first, okay? So chapter one is, I talk about money was my master, but only when I was broke. Now, I've seen broke. I've been there. Twice in my life, I've been over $1 million in debt. Now, some of you may not have ever experienced that. Some of you maybe even more, right? And I've also seen massive amounts of money leave me multiple times. I've had it where investments of hundreds of thousands of dollars just went completely away because it ended up being a scam. I've even seen it not too long ago, unfortunately, where over $2.5 million of my investments went completely gone due to some nefarious dealings. And so I've been there. And I've also seen massive abundance. I've seen $1 million in my bank account, as well as millions of dollars in investment accounts. Not too long ago, had a real estate transaction that netted us over $2 million. So I've seen both. I've seen both. Now, for me, money was only my master when when I didn't have it, when I didn't have it. And so, you know, as I started to gain traction on money and I started to be able to afford to pay bills and everything like that, then it was no longer my master. I didn't really think about it a whole lot. I thought more about impact. I thought more about reaching others and helping others. Some entrepreneurs, in fact, I'd say most entrepreneurs, it's never enough. They think that the first $1 million is, then they'll be fulfilled. But money is not meant to fulfill you, and it will never fulfill you. Now, that doesn't mean to not amass it, doesn't mean to not grow it. It's okay to have money. Just don't let money have you, okay? And then, and I want to start with, you know, with this crucial truth here, okay? Whenever you are afraid and anxious, that's when you trust God the least. If you're like I used to be, super stressed when the bank account is dry, then it means that your place that you trust is money, not God. Instead of God as my provider, it's my money is my provider. Did you know scripture tells us that God is responsible for all results? John 3:27 says, we cannot receive anything unless it's from our Heavenly Father. James 1:17 says, the Heavenly Father is responsible for all good and perfect gifts. So what if God has recognized your reliance on money, not Him, and is trying to help you draw closer to Him? Now, on the other side, if you have plenty of money, where in your life are you actually trusting God, or is God no longer needed because you have plenty of money? Proverbs 23:5 says, cast but a glance at riches and they are gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. And so be sure to check out the questions and the prayer at the end of chapter 1.